Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
This is part of GoTo Book Club. I'm Rafael. I am a platform and DevOps engineer at DevTeam. Have a long background with technology, and I'm here with Albert today to discuss about the book ASP.NET Core 9 Essentials. And Albert, could you give a short introduction about yourself?
Of course. Thank you very much, Rafael, to be part of this GoTo Book Club. I'm very proud to be part of this. I'm Albert. I'm a bit old. I have more than 20 years experience. Now I'm a cross-solution architect at Microsoft. And then my background came from the development world. But currently, I have been working with different kind of solutions, mainly for Microsoft technologies and Azure. So proud to be here. And let's discuss about the book.
Yeah, let's start talking about this book, this ASP.NET Core 9 Essentials. Just to get some context about the book, what was your process on structuring this book and why ASP.NET Core 9?
Yeah, to be honest, I got one invitation for that project, for the pact, and then they said, okay, we would like you to talk about ASP.NET because before I've joined Microsoft, usually I was MVP and then I've shared many topics related to the development. And the challenge was first for the ASP.NET 8. But I can say that the writing process is not so easy if you start to write a new book. And I have to learn by doing. And we decided to move to ASP.NET Core 9. And basically, the structure, it's related to who can read this book or the goal of this book. So I can say it's a bit difficult to structurize this book because as an essential book, you cannot go so deeper into the topics. You have a lot of things to talk about, but I've tried to structurize that outline using the same way that I would like to develop something in .NET, even if I'm a new. So start from the foundations until the more, how can I say, modern way to develop. So it was a challenge, everything, but this is the way that I thought to structurize that one.
Yeah, we were discussing about that before. Me and Albert, we know each other for a long time. We work together sometimes. And yeah, I love the structure of this book because it covers the full life cycle of the software development. It's not only about introduction to ASP.NET Core 9, but also about the aspects regarding the hosting, regarding how to operate it, regarding how to follow costs and the mindset regarding the cloud native and these things. Then for me, it was really nice to see that you start from basic things and you go evolving the book throughout the new aspects of .NET 9 and also everything around that on cloud and so. Then, yeah, you mentioned about this book should be easy to people to read. And who is the ideal reader of this book? How do you recommend to approach this book?
I like to say someone who is already developing something in two different languages. It doesn't matter Java or other language, but you should understand a bit about programming, software development, and even if you are working with, for example, with Python, you are able to understand what this book is talking about. Of course, for the new buys, it tends to be a bit more difficult because you need to understand some concepts like class, design, oriented object programming and so on. But I believe every developer who wants to understand more about the ecosystem from Microsoft .NET 9 in that case should be able to enjoy this book.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, regarding this change about .NET 8 and 9, nowadays Microsoft is moving from one version to another each 2 years. Then it's pretty complicated. You can start a book and write a book and publish a book within the time that they launch a version and stay on that version. Then, yeah, I think this book is a must read if you work with .NET, even if now it's becoming the .NET dead then. It's coming, then we'll come the 11 and so. But still, there are the fundamentals that are important for anyone that wants to approach software development with Microsoft technologies and also cloud native development. This is like the name, it's an essential book that they could use to understand and learn a bit. Yeah, I was looking through the book structure and I have the book with me here. Yeah, it's been interesting because you cover many aspects. Like you start from introducing the .NET 4, 9. Then you start with building Dynamics UIs. That's also interesting things. Crafting web APIs, real-time interactions. Then you go to the data security part. That after you present the baseline of an application, then we start with persistence and security that are some really important aspects when talking about developing applications. Then you come to the applying best practices. And here you cover many of best practices. That choosing this structure, like covering UI, APIs, data persistence and security. And after covering that, you start covering best practices. It was intentional. It was your thought about that from the beginning, or okay, let's then present the subjects for the readers. And after that, when they are comfortable, you will start covering the best practices and show them why we present those things. There are some insights that can give us about that.
Yeah, it's a really nice question. When I've described the outline first, I thought, okay, if I want to build an application as a beginner, what is the best thing I can do and how? Like, let's start from the foundations. And as soon as I have a solid foundation, I can learn the different things. Because at the end of the day, based on my experience, we always are looking to the end result. Like, I want to work with .NET, I want to work with Python. It doesn't matter the language. But in general, we are missing some important things, and those things tends to be like a technical debit. And you never change, you're never going to fix those debits. So I said, it's difficult to think your book is going to make everyone, how can I say, knowledgeable about the whole framework. But if I can guide someone into the important topics, let's say, okay, I don't know exactly about some best practices, but I heard there is some best practice that I can follow to make my code better, to make my application better. Why not? It's different because it was intentional. I always try to guide the readers into a journey that say, okay, I'm start from here, but as soon as I want to develop something and deploy it into the cloud, this is the stairs I have. So every chapter is like building your knowledge into the cloud. So you're going to have a stairs to the cloud, but it was intentional.
Nice. Yeah. I like this structure because many people start developing things and when they are developing and design architectures, they start from mostly new people. They try to build and follow all the patterns that they can. And sometimes it becomes more a blocker than a facilitator when you are developing applications. And it's pretty important that you know the foundations and you start as simple as possible. And when you need, you apply patterns and best practices, it will help you also to understand why you should use these patterns. Like, why should I use dependency injection when you start having issues on life cycle of objects or how who is managing this object? And so that is the time that you start looking, okay, I need help here managing these instances. It is interesting, this view on when guiding you guys throughout this journey reading the book. I really enjoy, to be honest. Yeah, it is an essential book. I feel that I'm a pretty experienced developer, but for me it was really interesting because I could see that, yeah, I enjoyed to read this journey. It's like when you're looking through a new application, you start from scratch, the first steps, and then in the end of the book, you see cool native mindsets and approach that you should follow to develop modern applications. And this was nice. And this is not a huge book, but it's almost 400 pages. Then it's hard to us to cover everything here. I would like to, go a bit deeper on the, I think it's the last chapter, this 11th chapter, that it's, the world that I mostly focus nowadays, this is the cloud natives. Mm-hmm. Because here you not only present .NET 9 as a language, as a framework, because the language is here, using here is C#. But the framework to help the developers, but you also present the aspects, not technical aspects, that are aspects regarding mindset, regarding observability, and the way that developers should think when they are going to start a new project to be cloud native. It's not all about hosting in cloud, but you really nicely cover this, that it's a whole new world. It's not about hosting application, but how you design, develop, deploy, and operate those applications. Yeah. Could you give me any insights on your thoughts when you're going, when you were designing this chapter? What was your main goals here?
Yes. I believe, as I said before, it was a journey. Based on what you described, for example, for the chapter structure, if I'm talking, for example, about best practices in, let's say, security, everyone knows that us.NET has appsettings.json. It's a configuration file. But nobody knows that, okay, I'm not saying nobody knows. I'm saying it's not usual for newbies to use these appsettings and sometimes just missing secrets into the app settings and moving to the repository, and then you have a security problem. Why this is important? Because at the end, you want to host your application into the cloud environments. And then we have a broad team work with us. So when I'm working with cloud environment, things must to make, how can I say, connections. We need to understand what we are doing and for and how. So I thought, okay, I cannot just thinking about .NET, because at the end of the day, I don't want next and finish. I want everyone to understand, if you want to deploy application into the cloud, you have to keep in mind some important aspect. So what is cloud native? What is the best practices related? What is the costs related? Sometimes we are hosting our applications into the cloud, but we are not looking to the cost. We are not looking to the performance. We are not looking to optimize things because someone else is going to do it for us, like operational teams. But if you are working with the cloud, and as a developer, we have been discussing about DevOps, containers, and so on, but to make it all of those subjects, how can I say, connected, you should to understand, okay, if I'm developing a good application with a nice framework like .NET 9, and if I want to host into the cloud, I need to look into those subjects. And because of that, the end of the result of the book is, now you are more prepared to work with .NET. And if you want a step further, please keep those subjects in mind. So this is how I structured this chapter 11.
Yeah, I really liked because you covered many things here. Like when you're looking to an application and you're developing with .NET or any other language, you need to think about multiple aspects here. We are talking about the code, but about secrets and configurations and dynamic configurations, multiple environments, integration and delivery and deployment, like continuous integration, the continuous delivery, remote configuration settings using, I don't know, from Azure, we have the app configuration, we have the config server from Spring and many other options here. And you were really clear and helpful on connecting these dots, because it is, we already discussed it many times in different opportunities about how should people look at the environment or the applications in cloud and how should them design it, how should them operate them. And it is always an issue when we talk about, because sometimes we have developers that they are really good on developing code, but they don't want or do not understand continuous integration and delivery, this automated process behind that. Or some of them are not interested on networking configurations and how applications and database communicate and so. And, but we need people with this knowledge, and it's important to a developer in this modern world nowadays that we are operating in cloud environments. And in, when I say cloud environments, it's not only about public cloud environment, but cloud environments, like remote environments. Even it's a data center environment that another team is managing, you are not, you don't have the control of this hardware, and so you still have a cloud environment. Then it's important to understand where is on your ownership, where is the ownership, who is managing this infrastructure to you. I really enjoyed that you covered this in a so clear and objective language for who is starting with .NET. You presented like CNCF, it's Cloud Native Foundation. This is one place that people can go and look for many projects, many languages, many different things, open source, yeah, supported by community, but all of them focus on one principle, cloud native, design and implemented to operate in cloud. And when you are talking about applications, it's not only about .NET, but as you said, you're a cloud solution like that in Microsoft. We have here in this book covering many aspects of it. What do you see as one aspect that people are missing a lot? And maybe you covered it in this book or maybe not, on designing these cloud native applications.
Yeah, it's a really nice question. Yeah, sometimes developers are prepared to develop something in a specific environment. Let's say in a few days ago, sometimes I can see it in some companies, right, where developers design and develop some application to be hosted into a server or even in a cloud. But we have to realize that our cloud environment and the market are so dynamic. For example, based on the AI area, how many kind of frameworks and softwares are developing short time? So as soon as you are delivering something into any environment, the other day, those application and anything will be legacy again. So you cannot just deploy it and rest. You have to look into different perspective. You have to look into the different context. And why I've mentioned, for example, cloud native, because we have different kind of tools. In that book, I've choose app configuration from Azure to make sure that you can configure your application dynamically and use Azure to change the configurations dynamically into your application. But also, I've choose the same app configuration for feature flags. This is a nice strategy if you want to do A/B tests, if you want to have a different kind of implementation, deploy it, and change the behavior of your application online. However, if you look into the cloud native, we have a broad solution for anything. Let's say you have feature flag using Java, using different kind of resource. It doesn't matter if it's .NET or not. You can just integrate it. If you know the foundations, if you know how API works, if you know how configuration works, and there is a lot of other things. For example, observability. So as a developer, I can see that most of our developers are missing those topics. It is going to be not centralized into one technology, but our application must work with different resources, different technology, and so on. So the idea it would be, okay, open your eyes. Look into the other perspective. If you look into the observability, for example, you can use application insights, you can use Dynatrace, you can use other kind of resource. But what is the best way to do it nowadays? Or I'm not saying the best way, but one of the best way that you can do it. You can use tools like OpenTelemetry, you can use a different bunch of projects available. But we have to realize that our design, our framework, our language are good, but they are not working alone. We need to be open to increase features dynamically, improve our software every time, but we should to understand before the foundations and everything is available nowadays.
Thanks. Yeah. I agree with you. Some aspects that I want to go a bit deeper on them. But before that, do you think that it's any characteristic from .NET 9 that you look at it and say, okay, this is completely cloud native characteristic for the framework or not? You think that it's not about the framework itself because it was designed to be generic and be hosted and implemented to anywhere? Or that is something that any a specific aspect that you see, okay, these were designed to support a cloud native application?
There is a lot, to be honest. I would like to cover one topic that I didn't cover into that book. It was .NET Aspire. It's related to the cloud native, self-discover, and so on. But it was impossible to cover everything, right? But if I'm looking to the framework, the way that .NET framework provides capabilities to developers to build applications, it's very nice. I've mentioned, for example, OpenTelemetry. So how can we orchestrate our application? What does it mean, Albert? If you build an application, if you host an application, how are you observing your application? For example, is there some exception? Is there some performance issues that can help you optimize your resource, optimize your cost? And I know that .NET has iLogger, which is prepared to onboard any kind of framework, any kind of project. Again, as I mentioned, OpenTelemetry, it's one of them. So if you look into the cache, if you look into the other perspective, the framework is open. You can just plug in things and it's well prepared for cloud environments and data centers. So even because we are open source, right? So there is no barriers anymore. So you can use everything you want and leverage the majority of projects we have. For example, if you have an application developed now in .NET 9, if you want to onboard some AI features, you can. There is a lot of SDKs available for it. It's way easy to integrate it into your application. So it's a very nice technology, well prepared for the new technologies.
Yeah, and you brought me back to the two aspects that you mentioned on the previous discussion. It was when you talk about the cloud natives and the things that you covered in the book and so, there are two aspects that I like that you mentioned. One of them is dynamic environments and how it's important to developers to understand that they are developing applications right now and they do not have the full control of where this application is being hosted and so. And then you covered one of the things that it's not new, but it's still used and important to modern applications that are containers. Then you can have kind of control on your delivery of application as a package, as a unique package with all dependencies and so. And it will also help with hosting your application to support all your needs. And this is one of the aspects that I see you covering in some aspects here in the book. And another one is observability. Because, yeah, like you mentioned, OpenTelemetry can instrument your application and look at everything. And with the distributed tracing, logging, and everything that this protocol supports, will help you to look at the application and operate it and monitor it and being alerted when something went wrong and like that. But this observability mindset, as you mentioned, it's really important when we're looking to cloud native applications. Because nowadays, we are losing control of the infrastructure, losing control somehow that we are not looking that much on the hardware that we are operating our systems. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes we need some specific hardware, but most time we don't need them. We don't need to care about which kind of hardware we are going to use. At least if it's, we know that it's a X64 processor and that is sufficient memory, we can operate there. But now we are also looking to platforms, like we are going to deploy a container. There are container apps on Azure, Kubernetes. We have the HashiCorp Nomads, that's another tool that we can deploy Docker containers there. And this, when we look at observability, how to observe it, and how will frameworks like .NET support this OpenTelemetry, the SDKs that can help people to run this, it's been amazing. I liked it. You cover this in the book because it's more and more important every day. Most critical is your application. Most critical is your observability stack. Then it is interesting that you cover this. And you mentioned right now Asquire. It is a tool that I didn't use that much. I know the tool. I tried it. It is interesting. I understand that it's difficult to put it into the book. But when talking about Asquire itself, it helps a lot developers on preparing the local environment to run a cloud-native application, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, one of the things good from Asquire that it can help you as a developer working close by the cloud environment. If you look, for example, I have Redis for cache, I have a database, I have other stuff or other service. So if you look into the previous way to work, we have some the URL from the applications to be run. We have some dependencies around it. But as soon as you use Asquire uses kind of service discovery that can connect everything and spin up those dependencies for you as a developer. And then you have also tracing for the requests. You have, for example, you need Redis. You have a connection with Redis, but it's not hard-coded. There is a service discovery. You just mentioned, okay, I need Redis, I need a SQL database. However, as you said, from the developer perspective, it's way more easy to work like that. And also, you can leverage Asquire into the cloud environment as well. But to be able to cover that one, I need to talk about self-discovery. I need to talk about a lot of things. So it was more difficult to put those chapters into the book. But yeah, those are important topics that it's, how can I say? Yeah, the book covers the majority of those as a foundation. And then as a developer, even if you're using .NET or not, you are able to leverage those into the new way to work.
Yeah. If we look at the title of the book, it's Essentials. I think that you covered here really the essential things from the UI perspective, data persistence, APIs, how API works, configuration, dynamic configurations. One aspect that it's also so important, and we see people sometimes do not care about those configuration side of the applications. Like, we are going to operate in multiple environments. We need to take care about those secrets, how we should host secrets, connection strings, how my application would know if it is running on production or on development. Then these are things that help a lot the developer to understand. And I believe that if the developer starts from running the application on Aspire, they will skip important steps.
Yes.
On understanding the foundational essential things about cloud native, about applications. Because when we talk about self-discovery, it's beautiful because, okay, we have a kind of available DNS that is resolving scripts to us. We don't need to configure anything. It will resolve this for us. Then, okay, nice, perfect. But
what is DNS? Is it?
Yeah. And when it fails, how you troubleshoot that if you don't know how these things work? Then starting from raw approach, it's really important when you're talking about essentials and we are talking about people that are starting or getting out or even unexperienced people that are going to read this book and start developing things. But to be honest, I don't think it's a book only for beginners. I think people that are already developing things, that already has experience, it's a nice read. Because you go easily through the chapters into this journey from the foundations, from the framework, into the cloud native mindset and approach. I recommend this for anyone that is involved on this work, not only for .NET developers, but people that want to somehow understand a bit more about Microsoft technologies in .NET, but also want to understand how to operate applications in cloud. So when we talk about applications, you now as a solution like that, but I know that you were software architect for a long time. And when you are designing an application and look at your book, you cover here from basic UI things until the operational things. What you see on this book for people that are going to start a new application or they have issues with an application that they developed, do you have any chapter here that you would recommend? Okay, look at this chapter, read it, and then from this read, you can go to another chapters and see what you need.
This is a good question.
Because I have one on my mind that I would like to know yours.
Yeah, to be honest, I like, for example, for the first one, it's most important for me because I'm talking about the framework. But yeah, I like the chapters who talk about the documentation and then the best practices. Because if you're not looking to that, the best practices and documentation, you are missing something. Let's say my application is not performing well. Okay, is the best practice to have a cache here? But why? So without information, I cannot do anything, you know? So I don't remember the chapter I wrote about it, but it's related to best practices.
Yeah, I completely agree. The part three of the book, it's apply best practices. I have the index with me here. But specifically on, you say, adding capabilities to applications and why I think it's important. Because you start here like from improving performance, and the next topic is understanding and implementing logging and monitoring. This is amazing because you cover with this how to connect new things on your application. And okay, you cover performance here, but this part on understanding and implementing logging and monitoring, if you are going to develop an application to cloud, or even it's not cloud, any application, or if you are having issues with the application, most likely with information from log and tracing, so you will get insights on where are your bottlenecks and so. Then, I was a bit curious if I missed something here, but it's nice that you mentioned that. I really like this approach because it covers some aspects. You say applying best practices. You have an application. You understand how to develop the dynamic UI, your backend part, like APIs and so. You also the persistence part, and you have full application here. And now the next step. What is the next step? And then you're starting to see these concepts. Okay. How to monitor exception handling, middleware, and these things. I think it was really insightful, even for me, that it was used to that, but it was insightful to understand how would you recommend and how you would approach these things.
Thank you very much for your feedback. I'm really glad to hear that.
Do you have any other aspects of this book that you think that, okay, we didn't cover the whole book? I think it's almost 400 pages to cover. It's a bit too much to 1 hour, less than 1 hour talk. What do you think you like to cover of this book? And if after that, if someone is looking to start with .NET developer or even development itself, you are a solution architect at Microsoft, what would your recommendations to this person?
Start from the foundations. If you know a bit about programming language, logic, and so on, start with foundations. Read the book. From the beginning to the end, you're going to get the more idea. There's a practical exercise. There's a GitHub for the code for that book as well. You can look into that and see how I did the implementation as simple as I could. So my recommendation, don't use just AI or those kind of stuff. It's very nice to learn, but start to understand step by step. And don't forget to look into where am I and where I want to go with my application and try to cover the aspects related as I've covered into that book. I suggest you to read it.
Nice. And if it's an experienced person, would you recommend to read this book?
Yes, we always have something to learn, right? So I believe from the chapter 9 to 11, there is a lot of good information that for experienced people can learn from that. So if you want to know more, not just about .NET, but strategies, design, and cloud, those chapters are welcome.
Yeah, I would say like start from chapter 9, wait to the chapter 13, and then after that, you can start from the beginning.
Yeah,
because you cover pretty nice aspects on modern development, and then people will be looking forward to start from the beginning of the book, for sure.
I like the idea. I like the idea.
I think, Albert, was a pleasure to talk with you about this book. Thank you. Looking forward for the next book and the next discussions.
Yeah, thank you very much. And also for GoTo Book Club, I'm very proud to be part of here. So yeah, we are always working into share knowledge, but the new book is coming soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.